I just wanted Willie, Elder Willie, I'm sorry, to come up while we were singing one of the songs. He had the Lord just downloaded something as he was looking, and just want him to share that with you.
Wow. Good morning. As we were singing, I'm gonna love you forever. There's three transitions in that song where it goes higher, and I'm looking around, and even in myself, I'm anticipating we get to that part. I'm waiting for it, and I'm waiting for it, and I'm waiting for it, and I'm getting excited for when we hit it. And right at that moment, the Lord told me that when we're going through things, do we have that same anticipation that God is going to transition us up to that next level out of it? When we're going through things, or even if we're not going through things, when things are going good, do we still have that anticipation that God is going to do better? And see, Pastor Linda don't know this, but all night I've been singing, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain, all last night. And as I was singing that song, and she already hit on it. Before Christ, we do come up on the rough side of the mountain. But with Christ, he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain that move. And that's our transition. We don't have to keep scaling the rough side when he would lift us up over it, or he would move it out the way. That's just what the Lord put on me. I'm not going to go beyond that. So I'm going to say what the Lord had me to say and move on. Amen.
Amen. And that's more than enough, right? What the Lord has to say. I love that part. I can feel it too, the swelling of the song, I'm going to love you forever. And you would keep going up, and then everybody's ready to say, now I'm going to try. And we get so excited about that. And the thing is that expectation, you know, of God doing more and more and more and more and more in our life. And I loved when he said that. Do we have that expectation? Do we believing that God is wherever I'm at, where I can be on the top of the mountain, God is still going to do more. And so we have that expectation where there's just this expectation of God moving. And in the house of the Lord, I just love when we worship together, because you feel it all going through the body. You know that one by one, we're all just going up and up. And I love that, that God brings us together on a Sunday morning. Don't you love that? I love that. You know, I was thinking last night, yes, I love worshiping at home by myself. And I worship in the car by myself. I can do all that by myself. I have a great time by myself. I do some things that I don't do in here when I'm by myself, okay? But I love when we come together and we're worshiping in one accord. Oh, I love it. I just, that feeling of the whole body that we're worshiping together in one accord is just a beautiful thing. And that we know that God is a good God. And we know that he's a powerful God. And I always feel like when we're all together right now, you know, we're worshiping, I feel like we're safe. You know, like I got my brothers, I got my sisters, and we're all safe. Come on in here, Wolf, if you want to, because you're going to get something back because we're all together. Don't y'all ever feel like that? I just love being in the body of Christ, and we're all together. And I think when God called us together to come and worship, that koinonia, that kind of fellowship, is to remind us that we're not alone. We are not alone. Look around you. There's a sister. There's a brother. You know, we're not alone. Sometimes the enemy wants us to feel alone and act alone and respond alone. But don't you dare forget, yes, we have God. We have God. But God has also given us something very tangible. We have one another. And don't you forget that. We can call on each other to pray, to hug, to walk with. we have each other, and I'm so glad about that. This morning, I'd like to say welcome to everyone that is in the house of the Lord. Welcome to all our guests. If there's any first-time guests, can you just wave your hand if you're first-time? I see that hand right over here. I see those hands. Thank God. We're so glad for our first-time guests, and we'd like to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We'd like to let you know that this morning you have been prayed for, that when you come in the house of the Lord, we don't know what you need, but God does. He knows everything about you. And so we've asked God to bless you in whatever area it is that you've been praying for, or you have a request. We know that God hears it. He hears our secret cry. He hears beyond our words. We can just but nod our head, and God knows. You know, isn't that something like parents? We were talking about our husbands and stuff, how we can look. I think it was Juan and Lehani. We was talking about this, how when we're married, we can look at our husbands, and they can look at us. And sometimes we don't even have to say a word. But Pastor David knows I'm looking at him, and he's like, it's time to go, babe. And he don't have to say nothing, but it's just a look. You know, it's just a look, you know. Or he's looking, and he's looking. He says, you okay? You need some water? But he don't need to say, you're okay, you need some water. He's just looking at me like that, and it's just, we're so unified that we know that. Well, that's with God. You know, he's a good God. And so this morning, he knows what we need. And so I'd like to say welcome once again on the behalf of our pastor, behalf of our congregation. Welcome to Living Faith Christian Center. You are so welcome to come at any time, and we will pray with you and come and worship with us. We're glad to have you here. Amen, amen. We see that Pastor Rumble and Sister Rumble. They're in the house, and we're so glad. We are so glad to have them here this morning. And so we just thank God for all of our guests this morning, and we're going to do our giving statement right now, and that's going to be by our dear Minister Irene.
Pardon when I speak to people, I like to project. But God said, I own your diaphragm. Come on. So my reluctance went away. And then I like to stand up and move when I'm talking. My hands don't move like they used to. But God said, I own your hands. All right. I own your movement. You don't need your legs for me to move. So on June 6th, 2022, I woke up in the morning, all happy and just ready to get the day going. You see, like Sister said, when you give to God, God gives back to you. So my life was pretty good. Making more money than I made when I was working. So I woke up and just had in mind what I was going to do. But all of a sudden, I took a fall. Life changed. I found myself laying on the floor and wasn't nobody there with me. You know, sometimes in life, you're going to find yourself laying on the floor and nobody's going to be there but you. I'm not talking about from a physical fall, but maybe from a spiritual situation, or from a relationship situation. So when I found myself laying there, I could have did anything. I could have cried and moaned about where I was at. I could have said, woe is me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I called out to the Lord. I called out to the Lord, and he heard my cry. I remember my mama used to say that. I called out to him, and then I called Siri. I'm just telling you like it is. Because I cry. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not a perfect man, but I serve a perfect God. I laid there like anybody else crying when I could not see my, I couldn't turn my head. I seen my hand, it wasn't moved. I seen my feet, they wasn't moving. So, but then all of a sudden, peace be still. And I said, Siri, call 911. And then the next thing I know, the person that God put to be by my side, the person God put in a walk with me, he said, call her. So I said, then I told Alexa, call my wife. See, God made those devices. And I didn't know he was going to make them for June 6, 2022. And then, see, we got to understand, we're going to be in certain conditions. I didn't allow my condition right now that I am. I'm going to fast forward for you to be a circumstance of what I cannot do. I'm not in my condition to ask God, what can I do? Right. See, God, we may go through different things and think that we're wiped out. But whatever you're going through, God has purpose. Yes. And you have to ask him, what is the purpose? When I was in the hospital with other people, in the same condition, some worse than me, I could have laid there and cried and we could have had a woe is me party. But you know when you got a purpose, when the chaplain comes down to you and asks you to pray over the people instead of the chaplain praying over you. Come on. I said, what is this and what is God? You know you got a purpose when you're still able to do the things that you want to do. Now, I can't, you know, I can't do all those things. Some of the things I won't share that my wife have to do for me that I won't share with y'all. But the thing about it is that when you allow God to use your situation to give him praise and glory, when you allow God to let people know that he's still operating. See, I'm telling you, I can raise my hand. A year ago, I couldn't. I can move my feet a little bit. A year ago, I could. See, y'all going to be shocked next time y'all see me, and I'm in here holy dancing. My condition may have gotten better, but right now, my spirit has not changed. And all I do is ask God each day. When some people said, why me? I said, why not me? And I usually said, what now? I said, what's next? So you have to keep pressing on. You have to keep holding on. You got to keep trusting him. And you got to keep allowing yourself to be used by God and stop trying to use God. Allow God to use you no matter what you're going through. When he starts using you, guess what happens? He starts building you up and he starts blessing you. Satan will try to abuse you, but God is going to use you and your abuser will get wiped out. I just want to share with y'all. Today, don't look at my chair because it ain't holding me back. It ain't slowing me down. It's just a momentary delay for what's coming next. And I'm praising God for a merry day. And what I'll say, I want y'all to pray for my wife. That's my sidekick. Oh, yeah, we fight sometimes because I want to get out of this chair. But what I want to get out of this chair for is not just to walk. It's to hug her, dance with her, and dance for the Lord. But until then, I'm going to run. And my chair, don't get in my way because it's pretty fast. I want to give you guys just one thing. I love you all. I don't have to know your name. All I got to know is you're a child of the King. And stop walking around here saying that anybody here saying they don't have anything. If anybody here say they don't have anything, tell the devil he's a liar. Because my Bible tells me that I'm an heir to the throne. Praise his name. Give him the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Really quickly, if we can have all the children line up at the door there. And then Leihani, if you can raise your hands. Parents, if you need to get in touch with myself or Thomas, please let Sister Leihani know. She will text us or call us, and we'll bring the child back if you guys need them. So, thank you.
Amen. Children, can be dismissed. Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, you need this. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Get the children a moment to make their move. Just shake someone's hand and say, I'm glad to see you here this morning. Amen. Or shake somebody else's hand. I'm sure there's somebody here you ain't met before. Amen, amen, amen. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. I am so blessed. Glad to be here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can find your place, we're going to pray. Thank the Lord. Let's go before God this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is in me. In this place. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just, Lord, we come humbled. Humbled, God, before your throne this morning. Lifting you up, God, and giving you glory, honor, and praise, God, for who you are, God. Lord, your greatness in the earth, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord, that we can yet call upon your name and know that you will answer. Lord, that you hear our cry, God. Lord, even in the most obscure places, God, in times in our lives, you're right there. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we say continue to have your way in this place on today. Lord, we thank you for our brother, Pastor Rumble, God. And Lord, his testimony, God, which provokes me. Hallelujah. Provokes me, God, Lord, to do even more for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you right now. And we ask you, Lord, to stir all our hearts and our minds, God, as we surrender and make ourselves available for your use. Lord, beyond these doors, beyond the walls of the church, God, that we can be light and salt wherever we go. That we can make a change and make a difference, God. Lord, and give glory to you in every circumstance. So we thank you, Father, and we say let your spirit have its way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, look at that video. Yeah, we're going. Let's do that. A lot of things going on. I want to share, amen, some of you know and some of you all don't know, but you'll know here in a minute what is coming up, amen, this next week or so, and some things that's going to take place with Pastor Linda and I. We want to solicit your prayers, amen, as you continue to pray for us as we go forth and do what the Lord has before us. Are you ready? Go ahead and roll that. Give God praise for what God is doing, but I thank God because, you know, we don't take this opportunity lightly. Amen. And we know that there's some things that, you know, God has in store as we depart on next Sunday. Amen. We'll be gone for until the 3rd of August. Amen. So we're going to be, you know, getting some downtime. Amen. And then from, you know, because we're going to fly out. Originally, we'll go to Dubai. And then from there, we'll go to Africa, to Kenya, to Nairobi and Mombasa, Kenya, to do ministry. So we need your prayers. We need, you know, the God to just have his way in what he's doing in us and through us and for us. But it's more about his kingdom. Amen. And truly, because I believe God has some things in store to take place over there. Amen. So with that said, before we get into the word, we're going to have the elders come. Amen. We want to pray for this trip. And y'all stand with us and join with us. Again, it's not about us. But it's about what God has set in motion for his kingdom.
You,
amen.
Thank
so we're going to have you just lift us in this trip up in prayer.
Diane, please come and lay hands on Pastor Linda. Church, as Apostle David shared, this is not something you take lightly. You are going over to a country where it's unseen danger. So God has placed in my spirit, in my heart, to pray for them and anoint them with oil. The blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood, Lord. God, they was born for this. God, they're going to a country where there's sickness and diseases. God, no sickness and diseases shall come upon them. God, nothing shall stop them. God, you be their strength. God, you be the strength to stand because you hung on the cross for us. God, in the name of Jesus, nothing shall stop them. God, let them be bold and share the gospel of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, you just have your way with them, God. God, whatever you decide to do, God, we be satisfied. God, whatever you decide to do, God, you go before them in the name of Jesus. Let nothing come against them. Let nothing come against them. No sickness, no diseases, nothing come against them. No weapons, anything should not come against this man of God and this woman of God. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you the praise. We give you the authority. God, you give them all the authority to go and share the gospel of Jesus. God, let them go into this land. Let them put one foot in front of the other. God, but you meet them there. God, you keep the plane up in the air. God, you control all gravity. God, in the name of Jesus, you have your way with this man of God. You have your way with this woman of God. As I said, no sickness, no diseases, nothing should get in the way. In the name of Jesus, wonderful Savior. God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. God, you cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood. The blood, 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 the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Deliver, Lord. Deliver, Lord. Deliver, Lord. Let souls be saved. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Wonderful Savior. Yes, Lord. 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 God, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. They was born for this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you. Pastor Sam.
Father God, we just continue, Lord God, as the prayers have been prayed, Lord God. We continue to ask your blessings, Lord God, over this household, Lord God, while they are away, Lord God, that nothing, Lord God, will fall by the wayside, Lord God, that we, Lord God, as your people, Lord God, those who have, Lord God, come alongside, Lord, our apostle and pastor, Lord God, that we would step up, Lord God, and do the things that we need to do, Lord God, in this house, Lord God, concerning this city, Lord God. Now, these doors are open, Lord God. We are excited, Lord God. Partnering with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that those that are walking in the door, Lord God, they will receive, Lord God, what you have for them, Lord God. And Lord God, those out over there in Africa, Lord God, they also will receive what you have for them, Lord God. We thank you for sending your gifts, Lord God, out there, Lord God, that you would send these to, Lord God, as a gift, Lord God, so that those. The lives of, Lord God, these two people, Lord God. We thank you for your vessels, Lord God. We thank you for your service, Lord God. We thank you for your keeping power, Lord God, and your favor over their lives. In your Son, Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you. Prayer. We ask you to continue to pray. Amen. As we go through this final week of preparation and getting everything ready and in order. Amen. As we go and do the work of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Just thank God. And there's one more little nugget I want to drop on you before we get into word. Amen. This is another one that I'm excited about. Hallelujah, because we get to partner with Living Faith and Newport News, amen, because we're planning a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, amen, and that's going to be a March-April time frame of 2025, amen, so that you can start saving up, because we want to take as many of y'all with us as possible. Amen. So we're looking at going to the Holy Land and looking at different packages that we can do. Amen. But, you know, we were there in 2007, and I've been waiting to go back. The time is arriving. Amen. So as we prepare, and there will be more information coming out of the time and the cost and, you know, and the agenda while we're there. But we want to go back to Israel and just do a Holy Land tour. Amen. So if you're interested, amen, just start putting your nickels aside. Amen. Amen. So we can go, amen, and just enjoy God, amen, in the Holy Land. And I tell you what, if you haven't been there, you want to go. Amen. Amen. I've been there, and I want to go. Amen. Amen. So we praise God. Amen. So we thank God for what he's done already today. But today, this morning, we're gonna just go ahead and dive into his word. And you know, just briefly, I'm not going to be long before you this morning. But I do thank God for, you know, what he's dropped in my spirit. You know, because it's one of those things that we don't often think about, amen, but we daily deal with, amen. And the topic I'm going to be speaking to you from this morning is remembering versus forgetting. Amen. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. Amen. And how we do it. You know, as we look into, as we're going into the second half of this year already, which just is mind-blowing to me, you know, that we're already here, you know. And as we're going into the second half of the year, I sat and I wondered, I said, you know, how y'all doing? How we doing with our theme for the year? Does anybody even remember? Aiming to what? To be kingdom representatives. So my question was, with that is, how are we doing with that so far? Did we forget? Forget to aim to be a kingdom representative. And that's not just at church. Amen. More so out there, because in here, we know who you say you are. You heard I put that? But out there, amen, that's where it makes a difference.
amen, is how we live and how we go to and fro, how we treat people and how we represent the kingdom. I think back to one of the pastor messages that Pastor Linda spoke earlier in the year. You know, she was talking about, you know, how are we representing or who are we representing? Are you representing yourself or are you representing Christ? See, a lot of times we're so busy presenting us that we can't present him. Right? And it's important that we pause and remember what that theme is, because it should be a part of our lives forever. It's always striving to be his kingdom representatives, you know. But when I think about forgetting and remembering versus forgetting, you know, the back and forth that goes on there in our minds, we all, you know, I can't help but think about, you know, the book by Joyce Myers, Battlefield of the Mind. Amen. And the scripture tells us to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there's something about that mind. He said, talks about renewing our mind. Amen. So that we can prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. See, so it's dealing with that mind. It's all in your mind. Just tell somebody next to you, it's in your head. Right? So, I mean, when we pause, but I think about all of us, amen, and from one time to another, we have this struggle going on. We seem to forget the things that we need to remember. Right? And on the other side, we remember the things you need to forget. And if we could just get that straightened out, it'll be all right. But it's that back and forth where we find ourselves in our head struggling with situations and circumstances. And when we choose not to, and notice I say choose not to forget, we get stuck in that place. Now, when God created us and he gave us a mind that has the ability to remember so much, amen. And, you know, even as I was doing a little research online in preparation, I'm looking at, man, this mind, it's not the first time I looked at it, but I always like to delve into, you know, the functioning and the operating of our bodies and how God designed it, because it always fascinates me, you know. And thinking about how our eyes work, and they pick up images, reflections of light, amen, and our brain takes those images with these minute electrical impulses, amen, and translated it into an image that we understand. And not only that, but it also implants it into our short-term memory, right. Amen. And it pauses there for a minute, depending on what it is, but then after that, it's processed into our long-term memory. And all the different parts in your head that causes all that to take place is just organic tissue. And it just messes me up. You know, how that man has figured out how to make computers, and you can take the greatest computer man has ever made, and it's far, 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 you know, beneath what your brain can do. Hasn't even touched the surface of what your brain can do, and the importance of those connections and all those things that take place, you know. But he gave us that capacity to remember, but on the other side, he did not give us the capacity to forget automatically. And how many of us in here got things or been through things you would just forget? You just, I don't, you want that in? But we find ourselves in that place, but see, it's, notice I said automatically, because you can choose to let something go. Because I don't want you to raise your hand, but is there anything in your life that you've ever chosen to forget because you did not want to deal with? Mm-hmm. Not even on the radar. You know what? I remember as a teenager, you know, I was, you know, having a conversation with my father, and he was, you know, saying this and that and that and this, and I told him, well, you know, I don't see it that way. I don't remember it like that. He said, yeah, you got a convenient memory. Anybody here got a convenient memory? know, and one of the other, you know, I look at this whole thing, and one of the other things I learned is I was reading this information, and it was interesting because it points out a fact that sometimes we don't want to hear, is that we can tell ourselves something so long that we believe is true, even though it's not true. Words, amen, shape your memory. Words shape your perception of a situation. You know, I was talking about this one situation where they had people that watched a staged car accident. They set it up, and then they pulled these people aside. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they began to ask them what they saw. And it's amazing that they had just seen it, but they couldn't recall it properly. But the one part that got me, because he said, you know, after the car hit him, did he run the stop sign? He said, yeah, he sure did. I saw him run the stop sign. He showed him the video. It wasn't a stop sign. It was a yield sign. But they just knew it was a stop sign. Because he said stop sign, it had to be stop sign. See, he planted that in their head. And the reality, you ever had somebody plant something in your head? And that became your reality? So then he began to ask him, you know, because they see him, he said, at what speed, how fast was the car going that slammed into the other car? One man said, oh, he had to be doing 50 miles an hour. Lady said, 40 to 50 miles an hour. He was moving fast. You know, because he said slammed. But then he asked a couple other people, he said, how fast was the car going when it bumped the other car? Same accident. Same few minutes. And then people, because he said bump, all you had to be 15 or 20 miles an hour. About 15 miles an hour. You know, because he changed the word slam to dunk. A bump, rather. I said dunk. You know, and why? Because, again, the words are forming their memory, their perception. See, when you say, I just know it, you don't know what you think you know. You know, you got to pause and really step back. You know, how many times have we seen, if it hadn't been for the video, we wouldn't have got the truth. Because everybody had their own idea and opinion. The one you thought was wrong was the one doing the wrong. And the video proved it. You know, so we begin to look at these things and we say, you know what? I don't know what I think I know. That's why we got to continue to check ourselves. Check our minds. But the scriptures tell us, amen, in so many ways, amen, that we are charged to remember certain things. You know, I was letting the elders know next week you would be doing communion. And I think about, you know, how that when the Lord Jesus took communion on that night, he told them to what? As often as you do this in remembrance of me. So he wants us to remember what he did for us. And if we would just get that one thing in our memory strong enough, it would help us to deal with a lot of the other memories that are not so good. Realizing, amen, that, you know, we don't have to be stuck in these places. You know, I think about how that when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and just as the Lord was bringing them out, he set them aside. Let's look at Exodus 13 and 3. He said, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by what? Strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. So he said, remember that it's the Lord that brought you out. Has the Lord brought any of y'all out of anything? And let me throw this out there. Have there been times you forgot what he brought you through? Because of current circumstances, we start forgetting. You know, and I start with the children of Israel because as he was bringing them out, he said, remember, he's bringing you out today. By a strong hand, remember, the Lord has delivered you. He's brought you out. But then when we continue to read and we continue to look at their journey through the wilderness, how many times did they forget that the Lord brought them out? How many times did they forget it wasn't pleasant in Egypt? How many of you know they begin to forget about having to make brick without straw? You know, they begin to forget, amen, that they had to go and collect sticks, amen. And they begin to forget that the taskmasters got harder and harder on them, amen, because of what they were going through in the wilderness. They felt like, let us go back to Egypt. Because they forgot. After 400 years, he brought them out. And they said, let me go back because I'm going through something today. Hello? Am I talking to anybody? Amen. I'm ready to. You know, no, this Christian thing is too hard. Amen. They didn't shake my hand this morning. Somebody stepped on my foot. You know, we can get petty sometimes. You know, I'm going back to the world because I ain't got to do all that. You know, but we forget if it was so good in Egypt. Why'd you want deliverance? If it was so good out there in the world, why you need Jesus? But see, we begin to understand that if they had stayed in Egypt, they would have continued to be dominated and destroyed. But he brought them out with a strong and a mighty hand. He brought you out. I know he brought me out. Maybe it's just me. I know if I had not been saved by God, I probably wouldn't be alive today. I don't even want to imagine what I would be if it had not been for the Lord saving. So I choose to remember more than you might think what it is that God has done for me. Because by keeping that, choosing to remember, amen, it helps me not to forget what he did and where I was and what I needed and how he did it when I didn't deserve it. He did it anyway. You know, so we got to get to that place, amen. When we're dealing with our minds, amen, sometimes you're ready to quit, you're ready to give up, you're ready to throw in the towel, but just take a minute. Just take a minute and remember where you used to be. Remember what it was like when you didn't have Jesus. Now, I know there are those of you in the room that can sit here and remember before you got saved, say, that was a good time. I remember having fun. I remember being able to go here and there and do this and do that. I remember. But while you remembering and you reminiscing over the good times, I want you to also think about the result of those good times. I want you to think about where those good times were going to leave you, amen, when you give up your last breath. See, don't forget that, you know, I tell people this all the time. I say, the devil don't like you, but he will present himself as your best friend. Oh, yes, he will. He'll give you whatever you want. Amen. He'll encourage you to do whatever you want. Amen. All the while hating your guts. All the while setting you up. And see, if we don't stop and realize that he's not our friend, amen, and that he's an enemy of God, and anything that's an enemy of God is my enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't want to be playing in the enemy's court, amen, while he's making me feel like he's my best friend. Amen. Like all is well. No, all ain't well. No, all ain't well at all, because I remember, amen, if it had not been for the Lord who delivered me. Amen. When the enemy was setting me up, if it had not been for the Lord to come and to turn me around. See, I got to remember. You got to remember where he brought you from. Otherwise, all you're going to see is what's in front of you. Amen. And he lets us know if you live godly. Anybody here living godly? If you live godly, you what? Shall suffer persecution And don't nobody want to go through persecution. Right? But that's all right. Remember this. He said, if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. See, if you just remember there's a reward on this side that you ain't going to get on the other side. There's a reward if you just hold on. Oh, my goodness. Just hold on, amen, and don't let the cares and the affairs and the lights and the glamour of this world, amen, cause you to forget. But remember. Let's look at Deuteronomy, one of the other places. He let them know. He was telling them about themselves, amen, how they would be. In Deuteronomy 8, amen, starting at the 10th verse, he said, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And he said, when you're eating, you thank him. Bless the Lord. God, you brought me out. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, but in the 11th verse, he said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and the silver and thy gold are multiplied, you got plenty of jewelry, your bank account is full, you got the nice house, and you driving the Lexus. Amen. You got all those things that you desire. He said, you know, don't forget. Amen. 14 said, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. See, when things are going so good, getting everything I want, favor all over my life. Amen. Blessings upon blessings. And you begin to forget that it was the Lord that brought you out. He said, you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the world, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. And get this, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint. I mean, when we think about what God did bringing us out, it wasn't all easy. But he was there. When they had no water, he was there. And when you think about bringing water out of a rock of flint, now, I don't know, some of y'all might not know what flint is, but anybody that ever used a cigarette lighter, one of them little lighters that you click it and it sparks, what's making that? That's that flint that's in there. Flint rock is so dry and metallic that it sparks if you hit it. How you get water out of something like that? So he's letting them know how extreme God was about getting them what they needed from impossible sources. And guess what? He can still do it today if you just trust him, if you just hold on. He said he brought you water, gave you water out of a rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. Oh, my goodness, I could go there all day. Which thy fathers knew not that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter day. Now look, he said he let you go through some things in the wilderness. There was a purpose. See, sometimes we wonder, you know, I love how Pastor Romo said, don't say why, say why not me. You know, because he said, I brought you through the wilderness. You went through that so I can humble you. See, God can't use proud people. See, he wanted to humble them to recognize that they needed God, number one. And then the other thing he said, to humble them and that he might prove them. Wow. You mean when God's trying to prove my faithfulness? God's trying to prove my love toward him? God's trying to prove, amen, that I'm going to trust him when times get hard? Yes. All of the above. He wants to see what you made of. He wants to see, do you remember? Or have you forgot that it was him that brought you out? Do you remember, amen, while you're sitting in your plush house and you're riding in your air-conditioned car, amen, and you're working from home, you ain't even got to spend gas. He said, do you remember that it was him that brought you out of a situation where you was on 9 to 5, barely making it week to week, amen, and eating ramen noodles. Do you remember? But now that it's gotten good, I might go to church. I might make it to Bible study because I'm busy. I got things that I got to do. You know, and we get to a place where we, you know, when you first came to God, now, maybe not you, but me. When I came, I couldn't spend enough time in the church, Farrell. Amen. I took my Bible everywhere I went. Amen. I wanted to be saved and know people that I'm saved. Amen. We wanted to be the light. Amen. Was nothing more important? Not that anything is more important now, but nothing more important than my relationship with God. Realizing, amen, because what we had gone through, or maybe what you had gone through, was still fresh in my mind. But time has a way of changing our perspective. But he wants you to remember, to purpose to remember that it was him that brought you out. Purpose to remember, amen, that it was him that made a way when you didn't think there was a way. Amen, when you didn't know how it was going to work out, he worked it out. When you didn't understand how God could get any glory out of this, he got the glory. And you still sitting there wondering, Lord, how in the world? And he's telling us, just remember. You know, I see all through the Old Testament where when he would deliver and he would move and he would make a way, he'd tell them to set up a memorial. Sometimes it's just a stack of rocks. But he says, set up a memorial. Amen. And when your children come and ask you what that is, what does that represent, you can let them know, because you remember and you want them to know so they can remember that it was God that brought us out. Baby, when we didn't have nothing, God blessed us. When we didn't know what we was going to eat, we heard a knock on the door. And God came by and blessed us with what we need. See, but we forget those things, amen, when we begin to get other things. Don't let the current things cause you to forget the things of old. Because if it had not been for those things, you wouldn't have these things. So we got to recognize who it is, amen, and what it is he's doing for us, amen. The 17th verse says, and thou sayest in thy heart, my power and my, oh my goodness. See, now this is what I want us to see. We get to that place, God has done so much for us, but we say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. I did this all by myself. You know, and that was, well, I ain't going to even go there, but, you know, sometimes we forget that it was God. And that gave us the opportunity and the resources to get the education, to get the position, to get the wealth. Amen. See, we think it was us. But when you look around you, everybody didn't have the opportunity. And he blessed you. And he said, don't forget that it could have been somebody else. Don't forget, you could have been passed over. Huh? But in the 18th verse, he says, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He said, I'm the one that gave you the strength, amen, to do what you did, the opportunity to do what you did, to achieve what you've achieved. You can't do nothing. Let me say that again. I'm gonna change the word there. We can't do nothing without God's help. Huh? But we can take the strength God's given us and use it for our own glory. We can take the strength God's given us to magnify ourselves rather than taking it. What did he say? He gave him the strength to do what? To establish his covenant. Strength, amen, to lift up his name. Strength to do his bidding in the earth. That's what he's talking about. Amen. He let our forefathers let them know that he would bless them and he would strengthen them. And as he's done this, amen, we begin to see. But what did he say? Help us, Lord. Verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now sometimes we feel like, I'm doing good. And I know I'm not doing everything I should be doing for God. I know I'm not living like I should, but I'm still doing good. And I'm not perishing. Not yet. See, we just got through going through a whole series of talking about God's grace. And there's so many people that are living in his grace that they forget. They forget. We have a tendency to forget because we don't remember. The scripture says he's a what? He's a jealous God. We read a passage, the man. So he's jealous for us. He's jealous of how we give everything else sometimes the attention that he desires. And he wants us to remember that he is the one that raised you up. He's the one that sets you free. Deuteronomy 32:7 says this: remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. See, if you forget, ask somebody. If you don't understand, ask somebody who's further down the road, amen, and maybe more established, amen, because they haven't forgotten what the Lord has done for them. In Psalms 97:12, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Oh, my goodness. Remember that we're not playing with a God who operates on our terms. We're not playing, worshiping and living and serving a God that has to negotiate with us. Right? It's not on our terms. He's not a negotiator. What he said, he meant. And what he meant, he said. And that's the way it is. Amen. So he wants us to come to a place, amen, to recognize that, you know, of all the people that you've ever dealt with who operate in life, it's my way or the highway, they really don't have that kind of authority. But when it comes to God, he's the only one that has a heaven or hell to put anyone in. He's the only one, amen, that can say it's my way or the highway. And I don't want us to miss out. I don't want to miss out. Amen. So I get in my mind, amen, sometimes we struggle with this or that, but then you got to go back and remember what it was that the Lord said. If the Lord said, don't do it, in his word, he makes it clear, don't do it. He don't have to come back and explain why. I know those of us in here who've had children, amen, and we've told them what, not, how many times did you sit down, Reverend Dawkins, tell your children, explain to your children why you said don't do such and such? Every time, well, I can't tell them until I get them to understand it. You know, so say, let me explain to you why I don't want you to steal. Let me explain. No. Let me explain to you why. Now, I'm gonna make this one real simple. Why I don't want you going in my room when I'm not home. Fellas, he just told on herself. You know, we get to these things that we want God to explain to me. Now, he's God. And his word is sovereign. You know, when he said don't do something, don't do it. You may not understand it. It may not make no sense to you. Amen. You might look at the situation and say, well, if I do that, I can go here and I can achieve this and I can do that. But he said, don't do it. Don't do it. Because he sees more than you see. He knows more than you know. He understands far more than you understand. You know, now let's look at Luke 17. I'm trying to wrap this up. But I want you to see a simple case that was not such a simple case. Amen. When God said, don't do something, he means don't do it. Amen. See, likewise also, amen, 17:28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's talking about coming soon. Amen. In that day in which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. He says, remember Lot's wife? He said, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. He said, remember Lot's wife. Just in case you don't know the story about Lot's wife. See, when Lot took his family into Sodom, amen, and began to mingle there, the Lord looked on Sodom and Gomorrah, and their sin was grievous in his sight. You know, men with men, women with women, all that stuff going on. Even so that, amen, the Lord sent angels into the city to take Lot, Abraham's cousin, bring him out of Sodom because he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of this sin. And they even said, well, send those men out so we could be with them. He offered them his daughters, and they still said, no, we want the men. These men were corrupt. So they got them out of the city, but the angel told them, don't look back because he's fitting to destroy this city, both cities. Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to destroy both cities with fire and brimstone. He said, don't look back. And the Lord said, don't look back. See, and let me pause here a second. So sometimes we need to, you know, get that in our mind. God brought you out of something. Don't look back. He delivers you from a situation. Don't look back. But no, don't look back. Huh? Because, see, you look back, you start looking good. Next thing you know, you're gone back. He said, you got to just cut it off. Cut it off. Come on out. Come out from among them because they're going to be destroyed. He said, don't look back. Don't do it. And as they were going, the fire and the brimstone began to come down, destroying the cities. And Lot and his girls and his wife were heading out of the city. But his wife, she couldn't resist the temptation. She forgot what he said. Or she chose to forget. Chose to ignore the warning not to look back. And the moment she looked back, the scripture records the fact that she turned into a pillar of salt. Instantly. Because God said, don't do it. Now, I just can't but help imagine in my mind how many pillars of salt. would be up in here. Or how many pillars of salt would be sprinkled throughout our city when people chose to do things that God said don't do. Can you imagine if God operated like that today. But his mercy and his grace, he wants us to be the salt and not turn into salt. He wants us to be the one that makes the difference and brings others out without looking back and being tempted and desirous to go back ourselves. We don't want to go back to Egypt, or at least we shouldn't be wanting to go back to Egypt. Remember, he brought you out of there. He delivered you from you. Oh, no, don't let me go back over that again. See, because he had to deliver me from me because me was going to destroy me. I couldn't blame it on this one or that one or the other one. It was me. And God had to set me free from me. Because when I stand before the white throne judgment, you ain't going to be there with me. Huh? And no one else ain't going to be there. I can't say, well, it was them. No. I'm responsible for me. So I choose to stand on his word. I choose to do it his way. I choose to remember, amen, what I need to remember. And I choose to forget, to blot out, to renew my mind from those old ways and those old things that were destructive, amen, and that could only separate me or you from God. See, you gotta have a selective memory. Or as my father put it, a convenient memory. I choose not to remember the pleasures of the world. I choose not to remember those things, amen, so much so that they draw me back in. But I do choose to remember, amen, the consequences of the world. Had I not come out of that, amen, what the consequences would be if I had continued down that road. See, I can't help but help you understand. You got to look past the moment. Oh, it was fun for the moment. Oh, that adultery was fun for the moment. Them drugs was fun for the moment. Huh? Hallelujah. Doing my sin was, but what is the consequence, the spiritual consequence of that? Now, I'm not talking about the natural, because naturally you beat somebody down and, hey, you walk around with your chest out. I told them off. Ain't nobody going to talk to me like that. And you puffed up naturally. But spiritually, God is saying, aren't you willing to suffer wrong for my sake? Aren't you willing to humble yourself for my sake? That I get the glory out of your life instead of you getting the glory out of the moment? We got to remember whose we are. We got to remember that we're aiming to be kingdom representatives even when you're mad, even when you hurt. Even when you overlooked, you are still aiming to be a kingdom representative. Stop representing yourself. You know, I find the biggest struggle in life is when it's about me. Huh? Let's get real here for a moment. Can we, Pastor, can I get real for a moment? You know, our biggest struggle is when our feelings get in it. And something is coming against me. Somebody is talking about me. Someone's taking something away from me. Huh? Am I talking to anybody in here? When you make yourself the center, that life becomes more and more of a struggle. Amen. And you want people to give you your respect. How about you give God some respect? Huh? And respect his word. Respect his spirit that's abiding in you. Respect the call that's on your life to be a child of God and to be light and salt in the earth. Respect those things and stop worrying about, you know, because he said he's our vindicator. Amen. He'll take care of those things that come against us. But we got to get to a place that we remember that it's not about you. You now, what do you say? I'm no more my own. Or are you? Help us, Lord Jesus. We got to get to that place, y'all. We got to get to a place, amen, that we choose to remember what we need to remember. We purpose to remember the deliverance of the cross. We purpose to remember the goodness of the Lord. We purpose to remember that I'm not the world does not revolve around me. We purpose to remember, amen, that we are on assignment to represent him. We're on assignment to represent him. Get you out the way. Amen. No, I didn't say me, because I got to get me out the way too. But you get you out the way, then I won't be your problem. Right? I'm just trying to help us this morning, amen, because truly we want to get to a place, amen, where the enemy got nothing in us. Amen. He got nothing in us that he can pull on, because we've surrendered it all. We've let it all go. Amen. That he could come and take everything you have and say, you know, you'll say, well, let me look in the closet and make sure you didn't miss nothing. You can have it all as long as I got Jesus. As long as I remember, amen, and I choose to stand on his word, amen, and realize, amen, when the enemy's bringing stuff up in my mind, amen, because you know how the enemy is. Let me bring it a little closer to home. You know how people are. How you going to let them do that to you, sis? You know how he treated you? I wouldn't do it. See, sometimes people beat the enemy and getting all in your ear. But you know what? You say, well, I'm going to give him the money anyway, because God said so. Yeah. And who's the blessed one? Right? When we make up in our mind that we are sold out, yeah, sold out to him. See, I was wearing my hat the other day that Reverend Dawkins bought me. And I think he got Otis one. And we seen it on one of the men's videos that says all in on the cap. People ask, what? All in Jesus. All in. Everything. Not holding nothing back. No, I say it like this, and I'm going to stop. If the Lord was to come and knock on your door today, will you let him in? Because he's knocking. If he was to come to knock on your physical house or wherever you stay, would you let him in? Or would you say, yeah, you can come in, but you can't go no further than the living room. You know, because my bedroom is a mess. Huh? You know, you can't go down there and look in the closet, because it's tore up. You know, you can go over here and you can go to the guest bathroom, but let me check and make sure it got some TP in there first. You know how we do? Amen. But God don't want to just hang out in the living room of your life. He wants to be in every part. He wants to be welcome in every part of your life. He wants to be able to come into your life and say, you need some more toilet paper. He wants to be able to come into your life and say, you need to clean up this closet. He wants to come into your life and say, you need to let that go. Huh? Because he's trying to help us. He's trying to build us, but we got to remember that he is the one that brought us out from the beginning. He's the one that made a way when we didn't think there was going to be a way out, amen, but he came and he did. So I'm gonna read this last portion, amen, then I'm gonna be gone, because I got many more scriptures here, but this last one I want to read to you, amen. Let me see, I'm gonna find the right one. Doing all right? Amen. Amen. Oh, that's not the one I want. Help, Lord Jesus. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter 1, verse 12 through 15 says this: Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, because most of y'all know everything I'm saying. He said, though you know them and be established in the present truth, yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He said, what he's telling me, he said, I'm about to die. The Lord showed me my time is coming. But as long as I'm here, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to do everything in my power to remind you of the goodness of God. To remind you of how you should be living and how you should be operating, how you should walk with him, how you should trust him with everything that was in him. He said, I'm going to do it until I die. This is my goal. This is my charge. This is my duty. I'm going to let you know. And then I might add, the rest is up to you. How did Paul say, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth is laid up for me the crown of glory. I believe it says that shall not fade away. If we would just remember how good God is. See, you see, sometimes we, just let's stand, because I'm trying to stop. But, you know, we get into the difficulty of life. And we allow difficulty to determine whether God is good or not. But no matter how difficult things are, God is always good. No matter how hard life seems to become, God is always good. No matter what you lose, no matter what they take from you, no matter what walks away from you, God is always good. He told us these things would come. He let us know trouble would be knocking on our door. But he also said, but lo, I am with you always. And when he's with you, his power is with you. When he's with you, his grace is with you. When he's with you, amen, strength is on board. Amen. When he's with you, all the gifts of the Spirit are with you. So we can look at the word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I open up the altar this morning for anyone that's struggling with letting go, with forgetting those things that we need to forget, or having problems and struggle remembering what we need to remember, that God is good no matter what, that he will keep his word no matter what. Remembering, amen, that when all hell is breaking loose in your life, he has power over that too. Remember that he will never leave you. He said in his word, this one, you know, there's so many things I could just look at, but how he said that he would not let us be made ashamed. You know, in Christ you win. Period. You win. The devil might think he got a round or two in, but that's all right. That just brought you some more experience. Now you know how to duck and weave a little better. Huh? But he wins. And if he wins and I'm in him, guess what? We win. You can do this. But we got to do it his way. We got to be the light and salt. You and I have enough on board to help a whole lot of people. But see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to get us so wrapped up in our own selves that we don't tell nobody about his goodness because we're struggling with this world. Remember, he's greater than all those things. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, your, your love towards us that's unending, it's everlasting. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunity over and over and over and over again, Lord, to come to you, Lord, and to cast our cares upon you. And Lord, I'm asking you this morning, as I stand here with my brothers and sisters that have come to this altar, and even those that are still at their seat, God, to help us, because it's in our head. It's in our head that the enemy is trying to trip us up. It's in our head that the enemy is lying to us and telling us that it don't take all that. It's in our head, amen, that we dismiss and we grab hold of those things that you don't want us to hold on to. Lord, so I pray right now, Lord, over the renewing of our minds. Lord, that as your word says, that we could and would prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, as we align ourselves, Lord, to you and to your ways of thinking and your ways of doing things, God, that line up with your word, Lord, we can have the victory. Even in the midst of the struggle, knowing that I win. Even when the problem seems bigger than me, it's never bigger than you. So we ask you, Lord, to meet these here. Lord, with those places of need, those places, amen, that has drawn them to this altar, as we lift our hands up to you, God, we surrender. Not my will, not my way, but yours, God. And Lord, I ask you to help us to remember your goodness, to remember your promises, to remember your benefits, to remember, God, all those things that you have laid up in store that we can't even imagine. Lord, and help us to forget those things, God, that would cause us to continue to stumble, those things that would cause us to continue to turn back. Help us, Lord, to choose to forget. Lord, and every time it comes up, it becomes easier to push it off, to push it away, to shut it down. Because you're teaching me, God. You're teaching us how to trust you. Lord, help us with this area. The battlefield that's in our mind, as we struggle with our own selves, with our flesh, God, with the desires of this world. Lord, and not that everything in the world is bad. Lord, but if it doesn't measure up to you, it's not good enough for me. So we ask you in the name of Jesus to continue to draw us closer, to continue to help us, Lord, to have a mind that lines up with your will. Lord, not to walk in fear, hallelujah, but your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Not thinking of, if I change, what's going to happen? If I let go, what's going to happen? A peace that passes all understanding. You are my way maker. You brought me out before. You brought the children of Israel out, and you kept them 40 years in the wilderness, even with their back and forth and their up and down, and you still delivered them into the promised land. But you had to work on them, God.
Yes, yes.
So, Father, we're saying work on me, because I want to enter into my rest with you. God. Work on me. Work on us. Yes. Lord, that we may lay aside every weight that slows us down, gets in our way, hinders us. And your word says, and the sin that so easily besets us. Help us, Lord. We know that you're able. And I pray your blessings over your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what it is. Give it to him. Let it go. Release it. And let it go. God is able. And if there's anybody here that hasn't given their life to the Lord and you want to, or maybe you need to recommit yourself, I open the doors of the church. Amen. That we would love to pray with you, pray your salvation, pray your recommitment. You know, he's still saving. Amen. He said his arm is not short that he cannot save, and neither is his ear dull that he cannot hear. All you got to do is call on him. And finally, if you're here and you don't have a church home, and you'd like to be a part of Living Faith, we invite you to come. Amen. Get connected. Get on board. Get planted in the house of God so that you can bring your gifts and your talents and your abilities so that we can all be blessed. Amen. If not, amen, we thank you for your patience. And I pray that something was said today that will strengthen and benefit you in your Christian journey. In Jesus' name, I turn it over to Minister Irene.
All right, let's give God a big hand in the house. Thank you, God, for the word. Thank you for the word, huh? Whew. I know we all got something out of the word, and it was definitely for me. Oh, my God, so much happened in my life. And, you know, I remember a time when the Lord, something was reminded in my membrane. It looked like I was going back, and I said, wait a minute. I've been there before. Mm. I don't want to go back there. And I said, God, help. You know, all you got to do is call him. I start coming forward and say, oh, God, what happened? He said, because your thoughts, sometimes we'll get so deep into something else that's not the word. It's so deep in something that we might like to do, sports or whatever. And we get so into it, your mind, the enemy, to sneak right in. And he's going to come and try to take a part of your mind that you'll forget God. And you'll say, how did I get here? But I remember a time, oh, as Apostle was preaching, and don't forget, I never forget. When my babies, I think I had about four then, three or four. But I had wrote a letter to them, and my mom had told me, Irene, that boy is not for you. But, you know, he was cute, honey. He was cute. And I said, oh, no, you just don't want me with nobody. She said, he's not for you. Leave him alone. Stay home. But after a while, I found myself in a house with this young man. And after a while, after about a few kids, I was in bondage. I was so deep in bondage till the only way I could see my way out, I could go to the store and wouldn't know how I got there. I would come back home or whatever. But I was so deep in bondage because I would rebel against my mom and against God. When we sin, it's not against people, it's against him, because he the one that said don't. But I remember a time looking at my little children, I couldn't live for them no more. So I decided, they had on the news one time that somebody took these pills and they died. They committed suicide. But I went and got me some. And I took a whole bottle of pills. And I had myself with this beautiful gown on and I went to sleep. Because I'm going to die, right? I'm going to die. This was back in the 60s, I think. But anyway, I laid down. But I found myself getting up in this gown. And I thought I was in heaven. But I was at home with my babies. And I thank God I remember that. Because what God said, touch not, I don't touch it. When somebody say, the Bible say, thou shalt not, I try to listen. I'm not perfect, but I try to listen because as he preached today, I want to remember the places God delivered me from. I want to remember that it was him that woke me up. I didn't do nothing to wake me up. I didn't do nothing. It was testified that somebody died. Let's bow our heads and pray. And remember, before we even leave here, remember that place that God is showing us right now. Remember. He brought us out. He brought me out of bondage. He brought me away from that, y'all. He delivered me completely. And you know what? When folks say, y'all ought to get back together, I say, not so. It's not of God. Know what is of God and what is not of God. Know what is of God and what is not of God. Folk come to us dressed in a pillow. They be pretty. They look good. But I remember what the Bible said. Men look like the outer appearance. But God looks at the heart, the heart. Lord, as we hear your word today, God, help us to continue to remember, God, that you brought us out. And when you brought us out, we don't want to be like Lot's wife that look back, God, and turn into a pillar of salt. We think we're just going to be a statue. No, we're going to be found ourselves in bondage, in sin. There is consequences of sin, God, and it's not good at all, God. Whatever it is, God, if it's lying, if it's cheating, whatever it is, God, there is consequences, God. Help us and teach us the more to obey your word, God. Help us, God, to come out out of bondage, out of sin, God, to turn away from sin, to hate the things that you hate, God, and to love the things that you love. Even as we come in here, God, sometimes we come in unclean, but you said, come unto me, all that are laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let us come running to you, God, saying, what must we do to be saved, God? We want to live a life that is pleasing unto you. We want our conversation, God, to be pleasing unto you, God. We want the way that we walk out of our house, even if we behind closed doors, God, we want to be pleasing unto you, God. Help us, God, in those weak areas, God. Help us, God, in those areas that sometimes we can't think right or we don't know what to do, God. Help us to be like Peter, God, even as he was walking on water. When he went down, God, he called upon your name. Help us to just say, Jesus. And you promised, God, you would hear us, God. You promised that you would help us, God. You promised that you would heal us, God. You want us to be made whole, God. Let this word go on to us, go with us, God. Let us not leave out of here and leave the word, God. The message that's been said unto us, God. Let us not, God, go and try to throw it upon somebody else, God. But let us, God, walk the word, God. Live the word, God, the way you want us to live, God. Help us to be saved, God. Help us to be holy, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And teach us, God, how to encourage and lift up one another, God. And not to tear one another got down, God. You said all of us, God, was born into sin. All of us are unrighteous, God. All of us, God, all of us, God, need you, God. There's no perfect church and no perfect people, God. We need you, God, each and every day, God. Help us, God. Help us, God, to be the light of the world, God, to be the salt of the earth, God, to do what you told us to do, God. Help us, God, to bring the lost unto you, God. Help us, God, to be out there seeking and saving, God, and not just talking about people, because that don't help. But help us, God, to be what you call us to be in Jesus' name. And just the announcement, we're asking all the leaders to remain in the sanctuary. There is snacks in the back. They told me not to remember, so I'm trying. And remember, Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 p.m. right here in the house, okay? And you're dismissed.
If I can have you. If I can have your attention, please. We want to start our leadership meeting. Can you hear me? We want to start our leadership meeting at 12:45. So we're not trying to rush anybody out. If you need anything, get with one of the elders or the minister, and we can still continue to pray. But we want to start this meeting on time so we can get out of here. Thank you.
testimony too. Hallelujah. Testimony 2, 3. What's going on with y'all? That's the second row. Okay. That means that's the peanut gallery. Oh, I don't want that. All right, how y'all doing? Y'all ready to get started? Looking for one thing. Oh, there it was, right there. Not that. Wi-Fi. Hallelujah. We'll go ahead and get rolling so we can get done. Amen. That's not what I want to do. What's going on here? That's it. Okay. That's why I went out. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we just pray, God, your spirit be in the midst. Lord, as we discuss your business and your church, Lord, and Lord, our goal is to lift you up and to magnify you, Lord. So I pray, Lord, as we continue to put our hands to the plow, God, that they're effective, Lord, and making a difference in the lives of those around us, Lord, and lifting up your name. Lord, we just put all our trust and confidence in you, God. I pray for every leader that's here, every member of the team, God, that as we continue to work, God, Lord, that you would just continue to order our steps, direct our course, God. Lord, let everything that we do be for your glory. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, greetings. This is an opportunity to meet with everybody. It's our regular meeting, but to meet with everybody before we head off, because we're going to be, as I was looking at